Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Talk some football here, BT. You know, 0-2 obviously for each of these teams. And it's the same old story, unfortunately. But winnable game, at least for the Jets coming up against the Bucs. We get more into them later. I want to focus on the Giants here because there's been some talk, or I don't know if it's just online rumors or what, but a feel that, who was I talking to yesterday that it made it seem like it was a realistic possibility? I forget who, but just, you know, fans' perspective, whatever, that Dable could actually be in trouble in season. I myself don't see that. I'm not saying he's guaranteed to keep his job here. I can't see the Giants firing Brian Dable or making a change in season, even if they lose to the Chiefs and the Chargers and go 0-4. Like, I think we're weeks, if not, you know, the year away from, because the next phase would be, okay, Giants lose. Okay, now enter Jackson Dart. Then there's that evaluation phase that I would think take us through the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Then you could evaluate after the season.
Yeah, I hear you, but I mean, it's like if they would have lost to Dallas 40-10, right, and didn't look good offensively and scuffled against the Chiefs offensively as well. Well, that's where Jackson Dart could change the narrative a little bit from an offensive perspective, get the Giants in the get them in the end zone a little bit, but the offense really did look good. So while we all want to see Jackson Dart play, is he going to really elevate the offense more than we saw this past weekend? And if the answer is no, and it's probably no, just because Russell Wilson had one of the best games he's ever had, and they continue to lose, what does that really change? You know, there comes a point where the message either is received or not. And the bottom line is he's 18-34-1 as right. The head coach of the New York Giants. And that is a 34-35% winning percentage. It's not good enough. Obviously, it's all based on the first-year success where you got some equity and Jones and Saquon and this and that, the poor roster and everything that he inherited. We understand that. And I'm kind of with you. I don't think that they would fire him during the season. But yeah. Sal, I mean, what if they're like 1-9 and it's just awful?
I think the only way he would get fired, first of all, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen with the Maras, with the Tissue, this ownership group. It's not happening. They're going to fire a head coach in season. The only way where it might even be on the table is if they went to Jackson Dart and then they still couldn't win and the offense wasn't very good. And by the way, you mentioned this yesterday. I think it's an excellent point and one that I would say, okay, well, yes, statistically, based off of what Russell Wilson did on Sunday and the deep balls and all that stuff. Yeah, well, Jackson Dart's not going to improve on that. No, but what he can do is have a more sustainable offense.
Yeah.
And move the chains more and, you know, shorten the game a little bit.
Open up the playbook.
What Russell Wilson did, yes, him throwing the deep ball is sustainable because that's something he's done his whole career, and the Giants have some weapons for that. You can't just drop back every time. Like, it wasn't sustainable enough to get them in field goal range in overtime, so that's an issue, whereas, yeah, in theory, well, how's Dart going to do what Russell Wilson did? He probably can't. He might not ever in his career have a game like that. Doesn't mean he can't have a more successful, consistent, sustainable offense.
Yeah, and he would get there differently. I mean, we saw a little bit of street ball, which was fun because the Giants never score. So it was nice to throw it up. Let's get in the end zone, score some points. Here we go. Yay. Like, it was actually kind of fun, even though the Giants lost. And I know it was a brutal loss for Giant fans, but it was entertaining, you know, almost 4 hours of football here. What you could get, hopefully, with Jackson Dart, instead of that, you know, 2 minute drive where there's a 60 yarder to neighbors, you might get the 7 or 8 minute drive, which keeps the defense fresher, which obviously allows you to kill off the clock if and when you have a lead down the road. So, yeah, you can get there very differently, and hopefully, hope is more effectively with somebody like Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I would just be shocked if I'm thinking through the possibilities you're talking about. Like, if they fired him, who's going to take over? Bowen? No, it'd probably be Kafka. Geez. And Kafka was a guy. I'm just saying, dude.
Like, I know. That's the other problem, too. Who's in the building?
Well, but we saw this happen last year with the Jets. You could argue, certainly in hindsight. But at the time, I remember saying, like, now's not the time to fire Sala. If you were going to do it, you should have done it in the offseason. They fired Sala.
I just wanted him out, though.
I get it.
I know that this sounds petty. It made us feel good.
Understood. And then you get to watch Ulbrich finish out the season.
No, that didn't make us feel good.
Yeah, well, that's my point. So, like, what good is firing Dable? I don't think the Giants are going to operate like that. I think we got to get to the phase of, before that is even on the on the table for conversation, we got to get to the Jackson Dart phase of the program, then see how Dable works with him. BT and Sal on the Fan. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's only like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. This week's game of the week is the Pittsburgh Steelers coming off a walloping at the hands of the Seahawks, taking on the New England Patriots. Let's go back to the phones here, BT, 888-808-1019. We'll do more football later on with Brian Baldinger. Curious to see what he has to say after watching the tape for both these Jets and the Giants. But back to the calls on the baseball. John is calling from the Bronx. What's up, John?
Hello, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to get your take on this thought. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, the Cards fall where they're supposed to fall and both teams make the playoffs, the Yankees and the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you guys have more faith in as a manager to get us to get either team further in the playoffs? Boone has a terrible record in the playoffs. Yes, he got us to the World Series, but I've called before and I'm not a believer in his managing of the game, but that said, he's got us to where we are. We're still in the hunt. Mendoza's riding the ship and keeping them afloat. Who do you guys have more faith in to get the team further?
Honestly, I don't think either one's going to elevate them to a championship, but I don't think either one is going to be such a detriment where they just completely sabotage things to the point where they just get swept. Or like, you know what I mean? Like,
I do.
It's probably like fairly neutral, and if the stars perform, the managers look good. It's bottom line.
I'm with you. I don't think that there is a difference. I'd love to give you a definitive answer and say, well, I choose this one over the other. I think that they're both, sadly, they're both similar. And too many managers in today's Major League Baseball are the same. I thought Mendy went more with the gut a year ago. I think he is managing tight down the stretch, and I think he is managing by the book, which is something that Boone has done before, and I've criticized him for it. I'm going to criticize Mendoza for the same thing. Like, you can't just say, okay, well, it's a 1-0 game or 2-0 game. The math says we go to Raley in the 7th, Rogers in the 8th, Diaz as soon as we can, and that should be that. We're going to win the game. And then when that doesn't happen, you'd be like, oh, I did all I could do. No. No, it's on you to figure it out. Don't get antsy to get to the next guy. Stick through the tough spot. Okay, Rodgers got a couple of guys out in the inning. Don't panic and go to Diaz right now. Let Rodgers get through it. If he doesn't get the job done, he doesn't get the job done. So Mendy's been tight. Boone has been more experienced in the postseason, obviously, but has yet to break through and win a World Series. Last year, the first year getting to a World Series, and even in that, he made some mistakes. I don't think either are perfect, and I think both are too tied to the data to be separate, to separate either from each other.
I'm going to defend Mendoza a little bit here. Now, I don't think he's had a good year. I've said that a few times here, but I think Mendoza's job this year has been tougher than Boone's. Number one, he gets no length from the starters. So think about this, Sal. Just the more decisions you have to make, the percentages go up that you're going to make the wrong decision here and there.
Right.
And then I think it's additionally complicated by not really, you know, I the scouting reports. Hey, okay, you saw Rodgers pitch in San Francisco, and you saw these other pitchers pitch here and there. St. Louis, of course. But they're new to you, so you're learning how their heartbeat is, and you're learning how their stuff translates to New York. So not only does he have to figure out three or four, including Soto as well, who they got. I think Soto was the first addition got, right?
Yeah.
So there's three or four new arms that Mendoza's had to figure out, and it seems like every night, for the most part, outside of like one or two starts from the kids, and Peterson, I think, went seven or eight recently, somewhat recently, where he's got to piece together four or five innings. And I just think there's more room to make mistakes from Mendoza's perspective, where at least with Boone, you know, Freed has stabilized it, and Rodon's been a bulldog, at least in the regular season, going to give you six, you know, and Schlitter's had a couple of really good outings, and I think there's just less trap doors for Boone.
Yes, if you're talking about as far as the decisions to go to the bullpen arms, yeah, you mentioned, I mean, when you get starters going 3 2/3 or two innings, like, I mean, what's he supposed to do? He's got to go to the pen early. However, where I will criticize Mendy, and Boone hasn't really had to deal with this, although he did weather the storm, and you look at Aaron Boone's resume, like, it's not, you can't even compare the two. Boone has managed the Yankees during the playoffs basically every single year, even with injuries. They overcome that. They win 90-plus games every single year. So forget the resume for a second. And Boone did, I guess, this year deal with a down period with the Yankees where they were maybe on the verge of being on the outside of the postseason, but it was not like Mendoza's had here down the stretch where his team just kept losing and losing and losing. And I can see that he and his team were tight, playing not to lose. That, to me, is a problem. So I'm not going to get on Mendy for the certain moves we've argued about, when to use Helsley or when to use this guy. Like, you can always
pinch runs, the pinch hits, yeah, the Mauricio, exactly, the Alonso stuff. Yeah.
Those are X's and O's things, yep, that I think that both of them are going to have their strengths, both of them are going to have their weaknesses for, whatever. And I think Mendy's gotten worse in year two than he was in year one, because I think he's managing more. I don't know if it's because coming from above or he feels like he needs to manage more with the numbers. Whatever it may be, he was better a year ago. My biggest issue with him, though, is if they don't have the proper leader on the team to wake the guys up, to tell them to stop playing scared, like they had last year with J.D. Martinez, or playing not to lose, Mendy's got to be that guy. So if it's not Lindor, and again, I'm not saying it is, but I know that they're playing not to lose, so nobody's done the job. Well, as last year, J.D. Martinez did it. Jose Iglesias was a big X factor in that clubhouse. It's got to be on the manager to figure out a way to get through to his players to get them to stop being so bleeping tight. It's infuriating. That's my biggest criticism of Mendy.
Well, I mean, listen, the other thing, too, is, you know, you talk about the trap doors for Mendoza with the bullpen. I'll tell you, now I'm going to say where I think that Boone's got a tougher job than Mendoza. You know, the at least when Mendy gets to the ballpark, he kind of knows who's hitting one through five, whereas Boone does not know that. You know, based on all right, is it Grisham? Is it Ben Rice batting second? Is he batting third? Is Stanton playing? Is it a lefty? Is it a righty? Like, the bottom line is that both of these teams have been built imperfectly.
Right.
And both of these managers have been put in pretty tough spots.
Yeah, I guess if I had to take one. Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal. But also, you could say, look at the landscape of baseball and compared to the rest of baseball, both. You know, I said this when I was out there at Citi Field a few weeks ago, right to Mendy's face in front of King Cohen. And maybe I shouldn't have said this, but I did.
What?
I said, I was talking to Mendy, but I looked at Cohen and said, you did your job. Now he's got to do his.
Did he laugh?
They did kind of laugh it off. And then I realized walking away, I was like, oh, maybe that wasn't the smartest thing to say, like putting the pressure on Mendy. Hey, but bottom line is they have enough to win, certainly to the extent that, like, better than what they're winning now. Talk about World Series, forget that. But they should be, the Mets should be playing better than they have. And yes, they haven't been great, been dealt perfect hands with Boone with all the injuries or the inconsistencies of the lineup or whatever. Mix and match. I think Boone loves it. I think the Yankees love to mix and match. At least Mendy's been able to punch a pencil in that lineup together. I would trust right now Boone more than I would Mendy going into the postseason if just based on experience to learn.
He's been there. Well,
I'm learning from his mistakes a year ago in the postseason.
He's been there, and we all know the mistake going to Cortez. That drove me absolutely nuts. Yeah, I mean, it really is amazing. And this is one of my greatest pushbacks on both of these teams here. When you have a payroll, 350, 320, 330, whatever it is, top three in baseball, both of them, I am just of the mindset, you know, and Hal has said this, that you shouldn't need a $300 million payroll to win a championship, and he's right. But, you know, you also shouldn't, in the middle of the season, have to hit four or five different levers to try to recreate a team.
Right.
Like, I just don't understand this. And I think it's been more with the Yankees over the last couple of years, whether it's a dearth of lefty bats that they had to go and figure out or, you know, go out and get a third baseman.
Yeah.
It really is just ridiculous if you really think about
this. Well, how about the biggest issue with the Yankees would be the lack, and we could get there with the Mets eventually, but it's still early on in the process, the lack of developing the young players. I mean, dude, what's gone on with Volpe in year three has been nothing short of a disaster. And this follows up, like, it follows the path that they had with IKF a couple years ago. I know he's not a young player that they were trying to develop, but we were all saying, dude, this guy's not a shortstop. And they were saying, Boone, with a straight face, he's one of the best defensive shortstops in the league. Like, look at the metrics and blah, 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 blah. And then only to go away from that right as we hit the postseason, they move IKF and they have Peraza. I think
they did.
Okay, and now the same thing all year long. Volpe. He's our guy. And now it's Caballero getting six straight starts or whatever, and Volpe basically nowhere to be found. Dominguez disappointing. You're like, that. There are organizational issues that each of these teams have. Now, I guess they're good problems to have, that when a team like the Yankees could have these issues, they still win 90-plus games and are shoo-in for the postseason every year. They just were in the World Series. All the criticism that they get, they're still having immense success relative to the rest of the sport. It's still just lacking that one World Series win since really 2017, where they exceeded all expectations because of the young players and got to Game 7 of the ALCS.
What do you think they do with Volpe moving forward this year? I don't mean in the offseason. That's a different discussion. I mean, let's say now he's deemed healthy, right?
Yeah.
So that's what they said.
He played last night.
Yep,
so yeah.
He got in there. He's deemed healthy. They put him in last night, made a nice play. Okay. So Caballero, a little out of whack on the extra shuffle, didn't turn the double play. And I don't know how Goldschmidt doesn't catch that. It's so weird. The Yankees first baseman this year have dropped balls that are so simple. It's ridiculous.
Rice, you could understand because he's not
a great... but I can't even understand that. If you're a catcher, you're used to picking balls in the dirt. Catch the baseball.
Fair enough.
I'm
just saying that at least when I look at Ben Rice with my eyes, I see DH. Goldschmidt's a freaking gold. Part of the appeal.
And he hasn't helped the Yankees out at all. It's very, very odd. He started pretty well defensively. He's even taking a step back. But do you think it's a night-to-night thing with Caballero and Volpe here?
Let me ask you it this way before I answer. Let's go right to game one of the postseason.
Yeah.
Because regardless, they're going to be playing game one of the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Caballero is going to be the starting shortstop.
I think you're probably right.
However,
I think that's the way it should be.
Me too. However they play it, but it's just when you actually think about.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, dude, now there are 12 games to go. Like the regular season is essentially over. And Volpe in year three, when we just isolate him outside of the team's results or what they're going to do, like that has been an unmitigated disaster, any which way you slice it in year three of Volpe. But yes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday,
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
To me, Caballero is easily their best option at shortstop. Thank goodness they had the at least foresight to go. We didn't know Volpe was banged up with the shoulder. I didn't think the Yankees were going to go out there and get a shortstop at the deadline. They did. To me, that was the move that was like, wow, okay, maybe they're serious about rebuilding this team just in case. And here we are. I think Caballero, regardless of what happens the rest of the 12 games here, he's going to be their shortstop come postseason.
I'm not even sure he's a pure shortstop, though,
with
Caballero.
I know.
But I like the other things he brings to the table. There's grit, there's on base, there's stealing, whatever. He's just got a little different edge here, but he's not exactly Ozzie Smith over there.
But when they got him, he was a guy, a different guy that could play short instead of Opie, where the Yankees were always like, well, what's our alternative? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, I mean, now at least you have an alternative. Today's Emmy Day, and I am going up against Bill Pito, Steve Gelbs, and Gary Apple. Now, radio people are like, oh, who cares about the Emmy? Although Francesa did give me crap for that. Oh, come on. Remember he came on and was like, oh, it's only a local Emmy. What's the difference? But I am tired of losing to Bill Pito, and we might find out today if, in fact, this is the year that I take Pito down. I want that damn Emmy for Baseball Night in New York. Come on. Been years in the waiting. Matter of fact, after losing two straight years to Bill Pito, like at first it's like, all right, you know, Pito, whatever, he's good. I'm happy to just be nominated. Like, I don't belong on TV. I'm a radio guy. But then the second year, it's like, oh, maybe I do have a chance at this. And to lose again to Bill Pito. And then after that, I was like, you know what? I don't want to try anymore. Don't even put in the reel. Forget it. I don't want to be nominated. I don't want to lose again. They put in, get nominated, and again, year three. Like, I do not want to be the Buffalo Bills of the damn local Emmys here. Come on.
What are the odds? So we got Sal, we got Gelbs, we've got Gary,
so
and who's the fourth one?
Gelbs is on it for his hosting Jets pre and post.
All right. By the way, I'm going to give you my verdict after.
Okay.
Go ahead. So Gelbs, Jets, I've seen it before, yep.
Gary Apple is on it for Mets pre and post.
Yeah, Gary's going to be tough to beat.
Pito's on it for his MSG 160.
I've seen that with Han and Wally and those guys, yep.
And I'm on it for Baseball Night in New York. I believe that's it. Please forgive me if I'm missing somebody, but I'm pretty sure that's it.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to pick a winner. What I'll do is I'll tell you what I watch the most.
Yeah.
Okay.
You probably watch. Well, Jets post is probably hard for you because
I don't watch that.
Now
sometimes they'll rerun it during the week, and I like Bart and I like Willie, and you know they do a good job. But I watch that the least frequency. So it's not about me placing it last. It's just in terms of me watching it the least.
Right.
So. I watch a lot of Knicks. I don't mean this. You know, I don't watch the Knicks coverage for Bill Pito necessarily, but he does a good job with those guys.
When I say the 160, I think it's the 150. Yeah, the MSG 150.
Yeah, when he kind of blurs around there and it does it really quick there. He does a good job, and he's a solid pro. He's been doing it for a long time.
Very good.
I do watch the Mets every night, so I see a lot of Gary.
Yes.
I am not always home when you're on, but I do like the show. Depending upon who's on the panel. No, I'm just kidding. I've told you before, I like the show. I like that. I do watch it quite a bit. So I would say that in order of watching, I would say Gary 1.
Right.
Sal 2. Pito 3. Gelps 4.
Okay, that's in order of watching.
Correct.
Right. So then
I'm
going to
leave it at that.
Yeah.
You can deduce however you want from there.
And I'll do it unbiasedly of my ranking of the talent.
Unbiased. All right. We got one Sal, two Sal, three Sal, four Gary. Throw another SNY.
Yeah, I can't even do it. I was going to do it in a joking way. I can't even do it. But I
thought you got one already. You have one, don't you?
I do, but like.
We want number two?
Yeah, and this one will mean a lot more.
Yeah, it's like Eli gets you in the Hall of Fame. You got one. Yeah, you got a little lucky.
No,
you got two. You're in the Hall of Fame.
Well, because it would be. Now, the show is also nominated. I forget who the show is going up against. But,
okay.
So the show, Baseball Night in New York, nominated.
But if the show wins, would you get one?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But the show is nominated, and I'm nominated head-to-head.
Yeah, it's a little difference.
Like, this is my name.
No,
my face on it. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Now, I would take the show one just because it means so much. Like, I'm a product of all those producers are really, like, it's nothing like radio. No offense, Al. But, I mean, those guys. Have you awake in there? They got like 15 different guys and stats and this.
Yeah,
and
it's
like,
a lot.
I mean, come on.
They're hustling.
They do a great job. We of course, and I was a radio producer, so I can say that. I mean, I know what I was doing as a radio producer compared to what these guys do as producers. It's nothing close. So I would be okay with winning the show one. come on, dude. Like, you know what? I'm a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one way maybe we could compete, or at least one of the ways to compete. I can't lose. Bill Pito's a nice guy. Gary Apple's the nicest guy. If I could lose to anybody in the category, it would be Gary Apple.
What if you lose to Gelps?
I'd have a problem with that. No, I like. I'm not gonna be honest with you. I like Gelps a lot, and I think he does a great job. But like, no, I want to win. I'll give Gary Apple. I've known him for 20 years, whatever.
Sure,
maybe 15
sure,
years.
Sure, sure, sure.
Love Gary Apple. Okay. Nicest guy. I spent 4th of July on his rooftop on the west side of Manhattan. This was 2013-ish, 2014.
He's got to have a nice little spread out there. All that TV money, all those years, right?
G App is the man. Love
he's
Gary
a good guy,
Apple.
Gary.
Literally one of the nicest.
Doesn't mean he should win, though.
Well, I'm just saying if I lose to him, it'd be okay. If I lose to Gels, my SNY teammate, I'm a little less okay with, like, all right, whatever, congrats, you tip your cap. But no, everybody else I want to take down. And Pito, like, I like him. Nice guy. I've messaged with him over the years. Very little. I never met him in person, but we've talked on social media a little bit through the years. Good luck, congrats, whatever it may be. I forget
how he
started following me or I started following him. We talked a little bit. So nice guy. I mean, you won 2 in a row. Come on. It's my turn. This is my time, BT. I think I'm coming away with a win today.
What's the criteria?
I have no idea.
Honestly, like, that's the question. Like, I've got one at home, you've got one. I have no idea how I won. I don't know who the hell votes on it. I don't know.
The one that I won, I was a part of Sports Night that won. It was the A-Rod PED scandal episode. A-Rod, I'm sorry. I mean,
yeah.
A-Rod, I have my trophy on it. My name on that, it says it on the trophy. A-Rod PED scandal episode of Sports Night. That like, Moose and I were on there for maybe 30 seconds of the show.
Okay.
And because we were on the show that won, we were eligible to get the Emmy.
Okay.
So it's not really, like.
You know how I won mine at SNY? I basically just created a show. I go to the producers. I'm like, this is the summer of LeBron. I'm like, hey, we should do a free agent frenzy. That's what we should do. And they just created a show. And it was me and it was Isola.
Yeah.
And somebody.
Tommy D?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that wasn't Tommy.
He ran out after that, I think.
Was it Eamon? Who was like leading it?
It could have been Eamon.
Either
Kirk
was.
Jimenez?
No.
Custer, because?
I remember Kirk.
Yeah, those are all the old
good SNY. God, that is a long time ago. No, I don't think it was because from the wheelhouse. No. Good dude, Bryce. Shout out to him. No, so if I didn't create the show, I'd have none.
All right, so you create. At least you feel
came
like
up with the concept.
And you've, okay, so it feels like you've earned that one. For me, I look at mine as like a culmination. Now, look, nobody really cares about this stuff. I get it, but I want to win. And
is there also a bonus clause if you win?
No, come on. But yeah, you get to maybe keep your job for another couple of months. Yeah, maybe they'll let me back next week. The other thing is Francesa, who's like, oh, no, I want to make the big guy proud. I don't want to disappoint him.
How many do you have? Do you have a couple?
Who knows? Probably from Mike Dupp all those years.
That's what I'm asking, Mike Dupp.
Mike goes by the Marconis. Like, when you get in that
realm,
maybe you can start being. He doesn't care about those local Emmys, as he told us on the golf course. All right, BT, so stay tuned. Hopefully we get the results before
we find out today for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're good.
Getting announced today, man. I'm a little nervous. Last year, I remember going back in the office because it happened after the show.
Yeah.
You could, like, stream it, and I was streaming it, and, like, the award for whatever.
They actually
whatever.
Do like to present. Yeah. I don't even know how I found out.
Yeah.
So, like, somebody goes up, like, a woman in a gown and, like,
whoever.
Opens up the thing?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they announce it, and the winner is.
Oh, dude, if you win it, we have to play this on the air tomorrow. We have to have this.
Maybe we could carry it
on.
Where's
Roll on? Oh, maybe. God. That's hysterical.
BT
you think South. You're going to win? I know you want to win. You think you're going to win.
My whole life, I've been a loser.
Is that how you start the acceptance speech?
Hey, yeah.
Turning of the tide.
My whole life, I've been a loser.
And here
until
I am.
Now.
Do you think you're going
to
win?
I'm conditioned to expect the worst.
All right.
That's just, like, I want to believe that this is my time.
Yeah.
I want to believe. I do believe that the performance on the show speaks for itself. Like, I feel good about that.
Uh-huh.
But.
You never know.
Yeah, I feel like at the end of it, it's going to be the same old thing. Like, I've come away like...
come on up, Bill. Get your award.
Rob is calling from Westchester. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, what's up, boys?
How are you,
Hey, Sal, I'm wishing you the best, buddy. I wanted to also tell you that my friends and I, it's funny, I don't know how many people debate this, but we're constantly debating who's got the better broadcast post-game, the Mets or Yankees. It's not even a discussion. The Mets have had the best sports play-by-play and broadcast. But, you know, you got Ron, Gary, Keith, and then post-game, pre-game, Sal, we got you on there. Do you agree with me? Do you think that we have a much, much better in-game, post-game, pre-game than the Yankees?
Well, just to clarify, I am not on the pre and post. Also, I cannot give you a fair answer there. Now, my opinion is that SNY is superior. I also work there, so my word on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to hold as much water as if you said it, BT, you give your opinion on it, unbiased.
I love the Mets booth. Yeah. I mean, you know what I think of the Yankees booth. I love it. I think the Mets booth is terrific. I really do. And, you know, the one thing, and this is, you know, more of a, like a TV downstream thing, but I think the Yes does itself a disservice by not having a show that
before,
after, like right. SNY does.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. Like
that, that's,
night, yeah.
that, you know, the days of watching SportsCenter, I mean, I can't speak for the younger generation, but when we were younger, like, you had to fall asleep to SportsCenter.
Right.
That music came on,
and then the wake
get some
up,
highlights here.
And wake up the next morning, it was a thing to
put
do.
It right
catch
back
up on.
On
everything.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing you missed if you watched SportsCenter that night or
and
that
MSG
morning.
Used to do a good job of that as well, the sports desk as well.
Yeah.
But, like, to me, SNY, you know, it just the way they piece it all together, you get the Jets, you get the Giants, you get St. John's, you
right.
get it
You're
all.
You're not going to miss any New
You're
York.
You're not going to miss anything. Right? So, to me, it's I watch it more. And I love the Yankee broadcast.
Right.
I like certain people with K more than others.
Right.
And certain broadcast components with SNY that I think are better than Yes.
Right.
But the best part for me of SNY is the way they package it all together.
Yeah, I think
New York.
I think SNY is just next level elite. I don't think Yes is bad.
No,
and I think
it's obviously not bad. It's good.
Yeah, I think the inconsistencies of who's on the Yes broadcast kind of hurts them
with
a little bit.
Too many combinations, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, Gary Keith and Ron have been a thing for how long?
Yeah, I know.
So, and then when you get into the pre and post, like, I'm legit good friends with Bolt Zeal and Gary Apple. I can't give a fair opinion on that. Bob Lorenz seems like a nice guy. Jack Curry does an excellent job.
Jack Curry's fantastic.
He is fantastic. So they
really
do a good,
good
job as well. But yeah, I can't give a, you know, come on, I'm going to side with SNY. Harry is calling from Clifton. What's up, Harry?
Hey, guys. Sal, good luck with it. I hope you win.
Thank you.
I just wanted to point something out about Volpe. I heard on the Evan and Tiki show last week that Volpe was going to be sat down because he has a torn labrum, and he's been playing with a torn labrum for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's why he hasn't played, really, outside of last night. He sat for a few games, got a cortisone shot.
Yeah. Oh, all right, I didn't hear about the cortisone shot, but I thought you said he was healthy, and that's why I called in.
He is now, and thank you for the call, Harry. First of all, they've known that he's had this
May
issue.
May 3rd, he got hurt.
Yeah, all year long. They felt like it was a prior condition when they had MRI back then. Well, that's what they felt, right. So he's played with this all year long. Then they came out with it recently, to your point, Harry, and gave him the cortisone shot. Caballero's played short. Last night was the sixth straight start for him at short, but Volpe did get in the game,
mm-hmm.
and they said that he's healthy and a go. And it sounds like you said that he was on the Boone was on the Talking Yanks podcast.
It looks like he's going to play tonight, Volpe, at short. So,
okay.
You know, that's what, because we were talking before, if you guys are just tuning in, Free Odyssey app, obviously. But, you know, what does Boone, what do the Yankees do with the postseason here? And my answer, in terms of shortstop, my answer is Caballero. I just love the grit. I love what he brings to the table. He's injected this team with the little edge, which I really like. But, you know, if Volpe plays tonight, and what was just said on Talking Yanks seems like he will, what if Volpe goes on a heater?
Right.
I mean, you're not going to sit him down.
No,
so it's still TBD.
I think any opportunity Volpe gives them to continue to play him, they're going to look for that.
Now, time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Huff, what do you got for us, little bald face truth, bald face lies? We do every Tuesday at 11:40.
All right, we're going to start with you there, Sal.
Hmm.
JT Miller will finish with the most points on the Rangers this season. Bald face lie, bald face truth.
JT Miller's on the Rangers?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Of course, he was named captain. I was joking around. He's named captain today. I'm going to say that is a bald face lie. I think Panarin's still going to have that crown. I don't know who did it last year.
It was Panarin.
Yeah, by how many?
What do you have?
He had 89. It was bad, dude. He had 89, and no one was even close. Like 60-something for Fox.
I think Miller will have a big year. I hope it's Miller, but that's a tough crown to take from Panarin. Panarin's issue has not been in the regular season. It's been the postseason. So, all right, look at Hoff starting off with a little...
it was just trigonometry here, and that's the last thing I'm thinking about right now.
I
would say bald-faced truth. You know, you slap the C on, you lead the way here. Let's go.
Okay.
I do like, for the record, before we move on and probably never talk hockey again, like,
yes.
I do love the fact that they, new head coach Sullivan, new captain JT Miller, and obviously, you know, star player. Let's see if it can change the vibe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Because yeah. Obviously that core became stale.
Bald faced lie, bald faced truth, BT.
Yes.
Justin Fields will start week 4 for the New York Jets.
Week 4. I'm going to say bald faced truth. I do believe he's going to play week 4. Week 3, I'm not so sure. You know, what Aaron said yesterday, he said if he's not on the practice field by Friday, then he's not going to be able to play. And, you know, it's Tuesday. The new concussion protocol is pretty tricky to, you know, to circumvent, so to speak, here. So I don't think he's going to play this week. I hope that I'm wrong.
That would suck, dude, because it's a winnable game.
I know. And think about this. The Bucs have a short week. They played last night, obviously. Now, they got not going to be an easy game, but the Jets are obviously, you know, fairly big dogs here. But I do think we're going to see Tyrod Taylor down at Tampa. And then I do think that we'll see, especially with the extra day. That Jets-Dolphins game is Monday night, right? So I think you'd have the extra day for Fields for week 4. Bold-faced truth.
Yeah, I think it's a bold-faced truth he's going to play week 4. I still believe he's going to... Now, so you said if Glenn said if he doesn't practice by Friday...
He's not playing.
But it's only Tuesday. Where are we at? Like,
I mean, how many days of practice do you really have? So they'll get back in the building today, and then they'll do a little practice tomorrow, and then...
I mean, if he's got a concussion, he's got a concussion. Oh. By the way, off of that Cowboys thing, which I finished, dude, Troy Aikman, like...
Yeah, I know.
Just letting him play. Concussion after concussion.
Different. You see him smelling the salts there.
He doesn't remember anything about one of the championship games. I forget the exact year.
Yes.
Good God.
No, dude, it's so different. And, you know, that's why you read these stories where, you know, you just see a player, God forbid, do something there's no restraint there, whether it's killing somebody or killing themselves. You've seen a lot of those stories. They just lose the power of the mind to operate. So I just think that now, you know, if this is years ago, I think, Fields is playing. If it was a tight game, Fields would have finished the game.
Right. So it's not really like whether you or I think. It's a matter of fact as to what the doctors say. But I still hold out hope that he's going to play this week. Bald-faced truth, he's going to play week 4.
All right, bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. Sal.
Yeah.
The Giants will score more than 70. No, no chance. Sorry. More than 21 points versus Chiefs Sunday night.
Man, that's a good question. I think the Chiefs are toast, man. But I also think that they're the Chiefs and it's the Giants. I need more time to decide which way I'm going to lean in this game too early in the week. But I'm going to say that's a bald-faced lie. I don't think the Giants... You said 21?
21. I actually said 71 first, but 21.
You know, 71, they probably won't score that the rest of the way. I would say that's a lot. The Chiefs... Put it this way. And now, I know it's home versus road. The Eagles scored 20 points against the Chiefs. Like, their strength actually now you could argue is their defense. With Mahomes missing throws and Kelsey dropping passes, whatever it may be, lack of weapons, their strength is their defense. I think it's going to be a tough slog. I could see the game being scored in the 20s, the low 20s. I'm going to go under. I say, like, right now, I'd say 17-ish for the Giants.
21's a tough number. I'm going to say over. I think you're going to see, you know, listen, I'd like to see the Giants' defense come up and make a splash play. Can we do that? You know, can you put something on the turf and pick it up and have a short field or bring one to the house or do something that you're supposed to do, which is my biggest issue with the Giants' defense so far this year. I mean, they were obviously better in week one against the Commanders than they were this week against Dallas. I'm going to say slightly over. I think that the Giants got a little, you know, little something from this Dallas game, even though they lost. And I'm going to say probably more in the mid-20s-ish. And, you know, I'm going to go over with this.
Interesting. I mean, if they could do that against this defense, now you're building something. I am choosing at this particular moment to look at last week or Sunday as the aberration.
So the over-under is 44.5,
yeah,
and the Chiefs at the moment are -5.5.
There you go. So they're saying that the Giants aren't getting the 21 if you do
the
math.
Well, you say
there.
Right around there, right?
Yeah.
Can you look up a Giants team total?
No.
They probably have that somewhere. Well, I was actually thinking about that because I bet that over the years. And
team totals are fun.
Yeah, they are fun because you're just rooting for one thing.
Exactly.
This team to score this many points. Problem is, if you do with the Giants, generally you're under. So now sometimes I'll look at these games even with that eye, even though I'm not betting it.
Yeah.
Just say, like, okay, this is interesting. They would have gone over here.
17.5? What is it?
Let me see if I could. Give me a second. I got to sign
in. I'm curious.
Pull it up.
Well, because to me, the team total is a good route if you like an over, but you don't love it. Because you're just not convinced the other team's going to do their part of the job.
You know what I mean? Just pick the one side. Why not mess around? Now, look, you can make arguments for either way.
Of course.
Let's see here. Giants, team. Is it team props you think it'd be under?
Probably. It might be.
Yeah, total points. Here we go.
I'm going to say 17.5. Maybe even slightly more. What is it?
See, here's the problem with these sites now.
They have alternate lines, too. I know.
The first one I saw was 16.5, but then there's...
That's probably it, Sal.
Well, let's see. 18.5. Is -140.
Okay.
Over 18.5 is -140.
Okay.
What's over 20.5 is +110.
Oh.
So and then the over 16.5 is -200. So probably the real number is 18.5.
In between the 18 and the 20.
I would guess, right?
Yeah.
Which they don't even have.
Based on the odds, I think that that's fair.
On this site, it goes 14, 16, 14.5, 16.5, 18.5, under 20. And I probably... I probably wouldn't touch that, honestly. I'm not betting under 20.5 at -145. If you believe in the over like you do, BT, you go over 20.5, you get it at +110.
That's
probably the best bet.
You ever bet alternate lines in terms of point spread?
Yeah, I do that all the time now because you could do it.
Oh, man.
I did it with the Ravens this weekend.
I remember doing it years ago with the Jets when they were, this is like year 4 or 5 of Rex. They were a mess. And I think that the Patriots were -10, and I think I jacked it up to like -17.5. I got back like +350. I'm like, I'm gonna make money on these losers.
Yeah, I love doing
Why
that.
Not?
Your bonus, Hoff?
I do have bonus because I said I was gonna ask every week. The Mets and Yankees will. I'm gonna change this up. The Mets will make the playoffs, and the Yankees will win the division. Bald faced lie or bald faced truth?
Bald faced lie. I don't think the Yankees will win the division. I do think the Mets will squeeze in and get that last spot.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's a bald faced. Would you say lie? Yeah, the Yankees aren't going to win the division at this point. But I'm not so sold on the other part of it. Mathematically, yeah. I just feel like too many people now have gone the other way after one win. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like, oh, the Mets won a game and now all their problems are gone. Not so fast.
No, but I also think the calculus is part of the teams that are chasing you.
Understood.
That's part of it, too. I mean, if it was better teams, like, say if the Mets had more wins than the teams, whether it's Arizona, Cincy, the Giants, the Cardinals, whatever, probably stopped there, and they were just better, then I think that maybe some of the enthusiasm would be stifled a bit. But I think part of it is, number one, it was a walk-off crazy win.
All right, but they're still in the game.
I get that. It's one win. But also, the team's chasing you. Yeah, as we've said all year, do you really believe in them?
It was also a game that they played lousy in that they won.
Yeah.
Now, the hope is that at least burst the pressure bubble and can let them go out there and play. But, like, can you sit here and say, or Mets fans, can you sit there confidently and say they're going to win 2 out of 3 against the Padres? Whereas if you asked me a week ago, I would have felt better about it. In that week, they continued to lose game after game after game after game in excruciating fashion, one worse than the next. So just because they won a game and didn't lose last night because they were off doesn't give me confidence in them. I'm with you as far as the teams that they're... Like, the Reds, forget about. It's now more about the Diamondbacks, who, by the way, Gio said this incorrectly this morning. I heard him, and I had to go double-check it. As of now, the tiebreaker between the Diamondbacks and the Mets because they finished head-to-head even is the division record, which favors the Diamondbacks at the moment.
Is that true? Okay.
And right, obviously, so, there's still division series to be played, within the series.
They're in a series right now between each other, the Diamondbacks and the Giants.
Correct. And the Mets obviously have the Marlins and the Nationals still.
Yeah.
So that's TBD. They do have the tiebreaker over the Giants, who lost last night to Arizona. So I still think the math says, and the Mets should get in. But I'm not sold that they've turned the corner just because they won a game on Sunday.
I think they're going 5-7 these next 12 games.
So then will that be enough?
No.
If they go 5-7?
Dude, you think they're going to go
6-6?
No, they
can't go 5-7. I mean, they've got to go better than... I think they're going to go 7-5. I don't think they're going to play great ball. I think they're going to squeeze out 7 wins. You got the Nationals. You got the Marlins. Right, so I know this Padres series. Tonight's a tough game. I mean, you got Michael King against Holmes. Probably right into the bullpen.
Holmes into Manaya. They're piggybacking.
No, I know. I know. But
can't
like,
wait to see that. That'll be fun.
I think the Mets will get 7 wins. You don't think they'll get 7? You don't think they'll go 7-5?
Are you more confident the Mets would go 7-5 or I'm going to win that Emmy today?
I am more confident. Oh, man.
You can be honest.
I know. That the Mets will go 7-5.
Wow. That's a shock.
No, I
don't think that. Like, I don't think they're going to go 7-5.
But do you think you're going to win the Emmy?
No, I'm not confident in that. I'm just less confident in the Met. Dude, like, okay, they 2 out of 3 against the Padres.
I'm looking at the Nats and the Marlins.
Oh, but the
I've
Marlins,
gotta
Marlins
leave that
own
door
them,
open.
And the Marlins, okay.
I get it. They lost 3 out of 4 to the Marlins. Last time they played them, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Nats. Last time, I know. You know what it is? I guess I can, but I can't really. I just can't see the Mets not making the playoffs.
Understood. Same thing.
Like, stuff.
They might even be able to get in if they go 6-6.
BT. They missed in 2023. We saw the collapse in 07.
Yeah, I don't lump that stuff in. I don't do it with the Yankees. All the Yankees are going to win because they're the Yankees. And I don't do that with the Mets. They're gonna collapse because of the Mets. I've always separated that.
That's fine. But the odds are the Mets will always miss the playoffs rather than make the playoffs.
But the team's chasing him, to his point. My thing is, can they get in? They might be able to get in with 5-7 or 6-6.
5-7? Huh? Do you have the man? If they... 5-7, they're going to get in.
Yeah, so they would be 82.
They're going to go. They're going to go 2-3 versus the Marlins. They're going to go 1-2. Sorry, yeah, they're going to win two games.
Right,
against the Marlins.
Take us through, guys.
Start with the Padres.
One versus the Padres.
So they're going to go 1-2 Padres next. The Nationals.
They're going to win one versus the Nationals.
No,
oh my
come
God,
on, dude.
Well, then they're not getting in.
That's what I said. That's why 5-7.
All right, go ahead. 1-2 next
series. They're
going
to win one versus the Cubs.
At the Cubbies, Jesus.
And then they're going to win 2 in Miami.
All right,
just to tease you, give me that.
Yeah, 2-3.
1-2. That's
5-7.
That's pessimistic.
5-7. That's 82. Two wins, you said? Yeah, right. Yeah.
They're gonna win the game 160 and 161, and they're gonna lose game 162, and they're gonna be out of the playoffs.
I could see them lock it up. Come on, dude.
Where would that rank on the torture meter for you guys?
Dude, under no circumstance can they lose 2 out of 3 to the Nationals. Under none. Like, if they lose 2 out of, I could see them losing 2 out of 3 to the Padres. Although I'd say let's say they win these 2 out of 3, win at least 2 out of 3 from the Nats. That gets you 4 wins. And then you got at Chicago, which is not going to be a pleasant place to play.
No.
And then in Miami. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think they're at best 7-5.
That's what I said. I think they're going to go 7-5.
More realistic, probably 6-6. 7-5 would get them to, what's the math here, 84 wins? Dude, I mean, 84 wins.
Yeah, 7-5 would be 84. I mean, either way you cut it, 84 is just a gross number for this team with the payroll. 84 is ugly.
And then the question is, can Arizona or, you know, probably the Reds, Giants, or Diamondbacks are going to get to 84? I wouldn't think, all right.
84, that's flirting, man. Feel good about that. Maybe it is the Emmy.
By the way, you guys said that they can't lose. Yeah. 2 of 3 to the Nationals. They did last time they played.
I'm talking about this stuff. I said that they can't.
I'm just saying.
I'm not saying, like, obviously anything can happen. I'm saying they can't at home to the Nationals. You lose 2 out of 3. Just pack your bags and
not
go
like
home.
They can't do it from a baseball perspective. It's just unacceptable if they do more so.
Like, exactly. Literally, it can happen. We've seen it. We've seen worse.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up.
You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.